Hi, this is Maddie Rose, host of The Fame Game, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for Lauren Spirer. She is 20 years old and went missing from Bloomington, Indiana, June 3rd, 2011 at 4:30 a.m. She is Caucasian, 4'11", 95 pounds, with blue eyes and blonde hair. She was wearing a white tank top, a white button-down shirt, and full-length black spandex pants. If you know of Lauren's whereabouts, please contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's hotline, 1-800-THE-LOST or 1-800-843-5678. To see a picture of Lauren, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jacob Lattimore, with a question from my fans on Voice America Kids. Do you have what it takes to be America's next young superstar? If you're the ages between 8 and 12 years old, then step up to the microphone. You could win $25,000 in cash, a recording contract, and a scholarship. So make sure you get your parents' permission first, then go to www.stepuptothemicrophone.com to enter. Peace.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America. This is VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Welcome to American Pulse on the Voice America Kids channel. Our show will bring you tomorrow's leaders today, and we'll also share what kids just like you are doing to make a difference. Now, here's your host.
What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. Today, I am in the Sherman household in the very presence of the artist, Mimi. She is an artist, an educator, a painter, and a visual media,
Visual digital media artist.
She's just the all-around artist. She has many, many stories to tell, many life experiences. So we're going to learn a lot about Mimi today. And it should be very interesting.
This is great, Alexa. I'm glad to be talking to you today.
Yay!
So where can I begin? You know, I've been doing art for a very long time, and I've been working with students also for a long time.
Yeah,
I teach in a college, and I teach students that are just getting started mm-hmm. in their careers.
As artists,
and a lot of students come, you know, that want to learn how to paint and draw, mm-hmm. and they can continue to do that, and they also are interested in learning new media, you know, which I recently went back to school
to learn,
and I got a master's degree in motion graphics and also Photoshop and digital art.
Yeah. So anyone who goes to this college, does it necessarily like guarantee them? Because being an artist doesn't necessarily guarantee you a job, right? Unless you can sell your pieces.
Exactly.
So it's kind of wishy-washy. Like you kind of have to have talent and you have to have
drive.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Art is a career that really is your whole life.
It's your passion. You can't just do it because, oh, I have nothing else to do. Let me be an artist.
No, it's a job and you get up and you should really have to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And just going to college doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, it really is the beginning of your life.
Yeah. Even if you go to college for something other than art, like just a college degree doesn't guarantee you anything.
It's the beginning of, you know, the start of a very long adventure.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And, you know, it's wonderful. And I couldn't think of anything I'd rather be doing, but it's work and nothing happens if you don't get up and do it every day.
Oh yeah.
Because there's some days you get up and you're amazingly creative and you have tons of ideas, and there's other days when you get up and there's nothing.
That would be my problem. I'd be like forced to be creative, and I was actually learning in my psychology class that people that are forced to be creative, they did this study with students with collages. Like, the students that were given the collages told, like, whoever was going to make the best collages, they would get a prize. But then the students who just said, okay, make these collages, and afterwards, we're going to raffle off the prizes. And ironically, the kids who were told they were going to win a prize for their best collage, they were very ordinary, like, generic, plain, simple collages. And the most creative ones were the collages from the kids who are just freely expressing anything. So it's basically like when, like what you said, like when you want to just be creative, it just comes. It's not forced. You can't force yourself to be anything.
Nope. I think, you know, you have, you know, some days, you know, you are creative, and sometimes things work and sometimes they simply don't. And I think, you know, you have to also not be afraid to fail sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work, you know, and, you know, that's just part of the creative process, you know, and, you know, and that's the beauty of art, you know, and sometimes things are come out of the blue when you at least expect them to, you know. I'll get a great idea driving in the car, you know, and not in the studio at all, you mm-hmm. know, and I'll have to try to remember those ideas, you know, and I do write things down, you know, because
you'll come up with this great idea and then gone.
Yes.
Like, I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast this morning.
Yeah. You know, and I really also believe that, like, keeping a sketchbook or a diary mm-hmm. and being able to write down those creative moments are essential. Mm-hmm. And I also believe they are gifts.
Yeah.
You know, really, really great ideas are truly gifts from somewhere of the universe.
Well, you definitely have a family of just gifted people.
I do believe so. Yeah. And I think that also is keeping that great positive energy around is very important, you know. And that's another kind of myth, you know, that I try to instill in my students, that you don't have to be miserable.
Yeah.
You know, to be creative. Yeah. You know, there's the starving artist myth, mm-hmm. you know.
You have to go through oppression.
No, I think, you know, you have a lot of lessons that you have to learn in life, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what art is all about, really, is about your life. And it doesn't have to be miserable, but certainly there are emotional lessons in life that are expressed in art that mm-hmm. are certainly part of life. Look at Adele. You know,
so much talent,
you know, that, you know, amazing album that she put out, you know, was certainly born out of, you know, a very emotional experience that she had. Mm-hmm. And let's just hope, you know, that now that she's happy, she can still put out some good music, you know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I just love Adele because she doesn't need the fireworks and the million backup dancers and the celebrity guests, singers or whatever, to come out with something amazing, because she's
connected with a whole
talent.
Lot of people,
oh, yeah.
all different ages, because she had a very real experience, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's what art is all about, and to
connecting
be able to reconnect, to recreate that mm-hmm. over and over again is very difficult.
Because then it comes like almost an obligation. Like, once you first come out with something so brilliant, then you're like, oh God.
And then
now
you
have to top
that. And is it real then after that? You know? So that's a challenge, you know, of being an artist. And I think that's when it becomes, you know, going to work every day and, you know, making the work and making it honest, mm-hmm. You know, and still making it, you know, successful.
Making it real. Yeah. I always wanted to become a writer, but then when I think of a writer, I think of someone locked up in a cabin on a rainy day, just like forced to just write. And like your job depends on that. Like, imagine how much, that's a lot of pressure. And how could you come up with anything under such pressure? Like, I nixed that idea right after I thought about it, because I don't think I'd be able to.
Well, that's another good point, Alexa, because there's some arts, even as a painter, mm-hmm. you know, you spend endless hours alone in the studio making, you know, the art and working at your craft.
Yeah.
So there's a part of that, you know, that I cherish those moments.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like listening to music or, you know, having the TV on sometimes for company, mm-hmm. you know, actually to have a voice. you know, around so that you don't go, you know, stir crazy being alone.
Yeah.
And some people really can't take that type of solitude, you know, so being a teacher for me counteracts that time, you know, being alone. So I like that time, you know, to do that every day, you know, by yourself, you know, might be, you know, not as appealing to me. I think in the digital world, you know, I like working as a team. I recently made a motion project in After Effects where I worked with a former student on a project, and I like the team concept.
Yeah.
You know, being because able you have to more play ideas. Off of somebody else and with working with their ideas
definitely
was really a lot of fun.
And when
I liked
you have
that
a good
a
idea, they're opinion can confirm that yours is good.
And then having their technical experience and, you know, so together with working with somebody else's idea and, you know, sharing the technical experiences was really a lot of fun. And I think musicians and bands get to, you know, have that kind of experience, you know.
You don't just have to rely on yourself.
Actors in movies, you know, and, you know, so the arts have a very broad, you know, different, you know, types of
there's different
interactions.
Different, like being defined as an artist is very broad.
Exactly, exactly.
There's so many different aspects to it.
Yeah, so, you know, the old definitions, I think, and the old paradigms of what it takes to be an artist this, you know, in 2012, I think have to be redefined, you know, and also being able to survive and be successful in the 21st century, I think also is being redefined. And for young people, you know, going into this field, you know, and given that the cuts in the curriculums, in the schools, know, I think it's a real detriment to students, you know, that these kind of things are being taken out of the curriculums. Because it's a very essential part of
learning.
Creativity, you know, of learning. And there are lots of people that really need those type of areas, you know, to be successful.
And didn't you say you taught a class that basically teaches kids to think at a higher level?
That's right. I teach a class called Conceptual Thinking. And it's a graphic design class, which traditionally teaches, you know, typography and communication. And is designed more to sell, you know. And I was specifically put in the class not to use it to sell.
But to just redefine it.
Yeah, but to use graphic design as a means of self-expression. You know, so to use the computer, to use visual.
Like I have your book right here of graphic
visual information and typography in an artistic way instead of to sell things. Yeah. And yes, you're looking at my book right now.
Well, we're going to get into your book on the next segment. But for now, keep it right here. You'll hear more. I'm your host, Lexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation. Our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the Tech Team, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm here with Mimi, the artist, and we were just talking about art and how it needs to be redefined. And art in itself is more than what it seems to be with people as starving artists and people who just are at that point of no return. So let me become an artist. There's more to that, and Mimi is here to explain.
Well, we left off talking about a class that I teach called Conceptual Thinking. And in that class, we do graphic design work from personal experience. And in the class, we make a book. And for all the kids out there, there's lots of sites that are out there, including one that Apple has right in Apple Works called iPhoto.
iMovie?
Or iBooks.
Oh, yeah.
iBooks, that's what it is.
Oh, and you could create your own little...
And you can create your own little books.
Apple is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Just the whole company in itself.
Yeah, and Blurb and Lulu. There's all kinds of self-publishing books out there, and they're fairly reasonably priced. And I have the students make books, and they're all books about their lives, and I give them the content and the subject matter.
Yeah.
And they make books about their lives.
So what are some of the things that they put in there? They use graphic design to portray the story without, do they use
yes.
words and whatnot?
They can use words or just visuals or visuals and words.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them the content. Some of them are like quotes from influential people that are like the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Or famous graphic designers or artists, and they can, you know, take a famous artist quote and then they have to make a creative visual based on the quote. Or I have them collect random objects. I send them out for half an hour around the school or around, you know, within a block of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them pick up six random things that they find that they have no
idea. You're just
personal
like a
connection.
Rock or something.
Exactly. And they have no idea. And then I have them come back, pardon me, back to the school. And I have them write a really quirky, weird story about the objects that they
so
find.
Fun.
And then, and they don't have to write it from a personal point of view, but, you know, just a weird
just
story.
Just kind of make it up.
Make up a story.
Oh, man, I would love that.
And then they create a visual based on the story. And that becomes a spread in the book.
Oh, my gosh. I kind of did the opposite thing the other day. I had a picture book, and I was with Jordan, and I was like, all right, I'm going to make up a story. And I just took the pictures, and I created a masterpiece just by looking at the pictures. And before I would even turn the page, it would just fall into place, and it was absolutely hilarious. So it's kind of like the opposite
thing. That's so funny. Yeah, so then another thing is I take Xeroxes. I make Xeroxes out of different types of books that I think have pretty interesting type of writing in them.
Yeah.
And then they pick up the Xeroxes that I make, and I give them scissors and glue sticks, and I have them cut out words, but they can't cut out ands or thes or any prepositions. I only have them cut out nouns, verbs, and adjectives. And then they cut the words and adjectives and they glue them on a piece of paper, and they have no idea why. Any words. And I have them do it for a limited amount of time.
But, of course, it's like words that have...
Just, you know, descriptive words, but no prepositions or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have them create sentences out of the words.
Mm-hmm.
And they're complete... Oh, yeah. I have them put the words in a paper bag. And then they reach out and
and they have to put them in chronological order, like from they picked them?
How they pick them out of the bag.
That's funny. And then they
have to create sentences out of them.
Yeah.
And then out of the sentences they make, we pick out a really cool sentence and they make a visual out of that.
That's kind of a cool idea for anyone who's interested and wants to be crafty, what she's saying. That's like a cool book to just keep and have around, look at it later on in life. Like, I would love to do that.
So on and on we go, and you know, until we make a whole book out of these, and then they have them actually printed.
Yeah.
And they come out really beautiful. And
yeah,
then
of course.
I also tie the whole thing together on how they can use it professionally. And, you know, and they're really, it opens up a part of their brain, you know, that makes them think differently.
Besides just like lines.
Exactly.
And I feel like if I was an artist, I would feel like art, it needs to be so deep. And then when you're trying to think deeply, then something very shallow comes out because you're just trying way too hard.
It gets
blocked, and you're just like the earth is round and life is vague. I don't even know. But, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? I'd try and make it a lot more deeper than I'm actually thinking, and it would just be like, what?
And then there's one project that I give them for the book is I also have them do a page on what are they grateful for in their life.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because I think sometimes people overlook you know, all of the good things that they have in their life, and they focus sometimes on all the bad things that happen all the time, you know, and it's sometimes the little things every day that we take for granted. I said, you know what, you guys? I said, you're sitting in a wonderful classroom in a beautiful school, and you have all this great computer equipment and everything, and you're still complaining about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I show them a movie called Baraka that has no words in it, no spoken words. It's just sounds of native cultures and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 90-minute movie that's intense. And it shows really people that are poor and, you know, and it's like,
and then they're like, oh,
what? You know, and so it's an amazing experience. And, you know, that makes teaching a wonderful experience.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, and then again, I make my own books, and my books are not, you know, concept books.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one here.
And I did a book called Songs of Innocence and Experience after a very famous artist named William Blake that did experimenting in printmaking. And given that I'm doing experimenting in digital design and printing, I did some experimenting with Photoshop and made my own book. And it kind of followed the type of work that I did with painting, you know, but I did this with the computer. And he did.
What are these poems?
The poems were William Blake's poetry.
Okay, so he did poetry and paintings.
He was a writer, and he did drawings, really, and printmaking. And he was very experimental in his time, and he did very spiritually oriented, kind of surrealistic, symbolic work.
Yeah, you have some
pretty
wacky stuff in here, but it's cool. What do you think is the most interesting in this? I mean, I wish I could show everyone what I'm looking at right now. It can't even explain it. It's pretty
trippy.
Yeah,
you know what? The photos that I took of some...
This one.
Yeah.
The cradle, a cradle song.
It was called the cradle song. There is a couple from Germany that dress alike in these pink feminine outfits. It's a husband and wife.
So this is the husband and
wife.
Oh,
and they're like these bald, kind of odd looking.
They're bald and like little
dressed
bit
in women's clothing.
Both
pink.
That's so weird.
Dresses, and they're very odd. And so anyway, I photographed them a couple of years ago in Art Basel.
In Germany?
They're from Germany.
Oh, from Germany. Okay.
Yeah, they're very famous apparently in Germany.
What do they do? Just dress
up. They dress up and go to art festivals and get photographed.
And they're famous?
Yeah.
Just for being weirdos.
They're famous for being weirdos. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century. Yeah.
Welcome to the world of art.
Yeah. So anyway, so I put them in this picture of, and it's a combination of composite, I guess is what you would call it,
mm-hmm.
where I cut up some of my old artwork, which was a bassinet, and it had the same colors in it. And
yeah.
Photoshopped a picture of a baby in there.
Into the cradle.
Yeah.
Next to these freaky couple. And then you have this beautiful scenic
idyllic scene of North Carolina in the mountains.
It's so cool because all of these pictures, it kind of looks like it
it all fits together.
And yeah,
that's what the art is, you know. So what I did is I take pictures that I've shot, all the photography is mine,
yeah,
artwork that I painted, and very, very few, like these are pictures of the Blue Angels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even
know. Yeah, the actual Blue Angels jets.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the poetry, it has something to do with angels.
Oh, okay.
It is an interpretation of the poetry, just with 21st century crazy, crazy pictures.
Would you say it's representational art or?
Symbolic.
Symbolic
art, yes. The art is in the design, it's in the color,
mm-hmm.
and in the artistry of the Photoshop and the technical.
Yeah.
So that part of it is fun, you know, for me. You know?
Yeah. Well, what about your paintings? What would you describe your painting to be? Like, what kind of art?
It's a form of surrealism.
Yeah.
My paintings are a form of surrealism, as is the Photoshop. And if you really think about it, Photoshop, when you're combining images that really were never put together that mm-hmm. way, that is not realism. It is not reality on any level. Photoshop.
Yeah.
So it is a form of surrealism, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. When women are taking their Photoshop, their pictures, and then Photoshopping them
different bodies together.
To be way skinnier,
yeah,
or
that's not
whatever
real. So in a way, it's a form of surrealism.
Yeah. Oh.
As a matter of fact, George Bolgi, who used to be the director of the Boca Raton Art Museum,
mm-hmm.
who was a personal friend of mine, a very old friend of mine, as a matter of fact, he once wrote about my artwork that I did Photoshop through my paintings before Photoshop was ever invented.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I was doing Photoshop in 1970s. And Photoshop wasn't invented until the late 80s.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So when Photoshop actually came out,
then he was like, hey.
I was kind of like, what is this? No, I didn't even know how to do it. I just learned it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so finally I decided maybe I should actually learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my point is, Alexa, in all of this to your listeners, it's never too late to learn things. You know, learning is a wonderful thing, and it's something that can be a wonderful experience for your whole life, and it keeps you growing and interesting
mm-hmm.
and vibrant forever. You know, it makes your life go by, and it continues to give you rewarding and fun and interesting and cool, interesting experiences, and you keep learning new things, you know, it's awesome.
Okay, well, that's awesome. We're going to have to cut it to the next segment, so keep it right here. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice of America Kids Network.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jacob Lattimore, with a question from my fans on Voice America Kids. Do you have what it takes to be America's next young superstar? If you're the ages between 8 and 12 years old, then step up to the microphone. You could win $25,000 in cash, a recording contract, and a scholarship. So make sure you get your parents' permission first, then go to www.stepuptothemicrophone.com to enter. Peace.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm here with Mimi. And where did we just leave off on? How art is you need to continue learning. And art learning is never something that you just stop after college or whatnot. It's life experiences you learn from. And especially in art, there's always room to improve.
And grow. So let's start from the beginning.
Yeah. How did you get started in this
world? So I went to college.
Okay. And like yourself, did you go to college?
I went to Webster College in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And like yourself, believe it or not, I didn't know I wanted to do visual arts. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a writer.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was because when I was in high school, I liked creative writing, and I thought it was kind of cool,
yeah.
You know, and I had great English teachers. They were very interesting, and all of a sudden they were...
English, you could think deeper than just, you know, you're not a math person, right? Usually
right.
If someone's artsy, they're just, math is not their forte.
Right.
Like me.
Right. And the English teachers, you know, like kind of all of a sudden were talking about how the writers were talking more than just what you were reading. There was symbolism.
Oh my gosh, that's what got me too. I was like, whoa, like that red door means sex?
Something else? Like,
yeah.
I know. I didn't know that.
The
was,
food even means like different things. And then,
yeah, so that cool. Like was like, this is really kind of cool,
yeah.
You know? And I would write things and they were encouraging. And I was like, oh, I really like this. I think I could do this, you know? And then I went to college, and my first English teachers were like grammar Nazis or something, you know? And they were like, my spelling wasn't that great or whatever, you know? And my grammar was worse.
That's all right.
You know? And the creative part of that course wasn't right away. You know, you had to do the foundation, and college was different. And I was like, oh.
Your college was kind of like make your own, right? Like
no, it wasn't the creative. It wasn't as creative in the beginning. It was,
oh, really?
No, it was the foundation and
oh, God.
The grammar. And it was
like your
C's and D's. And it was very like instead
structured.
Of. Yeah. It was not for me, you know. And I couldn't wait to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I was a little discouraged at that point.
Yeah.
Needless to say. And I grew up in New York, in New York City, and I went to the Midwest, and I was like a little bit disappointed, needless to say, because I thought all cities were big.
Oh,
like
yeah,
New
going
York,
from New York to where in the Midwest?
St. Louis.
Oh, God.
And it was a city. So I thought, oh, okay, all cities are big. And I went out, you know, like, late, like after 10.
Newsflash. After 10, everything's dark.
Everything was, I was
shut
like,
down.
There were no people.
Yeah.
You know, so I went downtown St. Louis to the Arch at 10 o'clock at night, like on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And there were no people. And I was like,
what?
Where are the people? And I was like, oh my gosh, I made a mistake, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like very depressed, and the classes weren't bad, and I thought I'd make this horrible, you know, like decision.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, okay. And in high school, the people in the painting classes were very well behaved and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in the ceramic classes throwing clay balls around and stuff. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll try some art classes, you know, and I actually.
So you didn't even really start art in high school or anything. You just started it in college.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I thought you were just like.
I took some ceramics, you know,
yeah,
like I said,
nothing.
Where the wild kids were.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, but I really did not, you know. But I will say to all of you guys out there, what I did know that I like to do about art is I like to make things.
Mm-hmm. To create.
I like to make things.
Yeah.
It wasn't even creative. I just liked making things. I made models, you know,
yeah.
I made paint by numbers. You know,
yeah.
I didn't make, you know, anything significant. I just liked making things, jewelry,
anything.
You know, anything. Okay. So and then I took some painting classes, you know, and I took basic art, foundation art, and I had some wonderful teachers. And the college I went to was very experimental. It had no grades.
Oh, my God.
And that was a plus.
Sounds like a hippie school to me.
Yeah, it was experimental.
Yeah.
And eventually it did have grades, but at this moment in time, it was an experiment, and it was wonderful. And the people that I met were incredible, incredible people.
So you ended up liking college.
Yes, I did. And I liked...
You always end up liking where you go. I mean, and if you're miserable, you move.
Like, and part of it is sticking it out past the first semester. Mm-hmm. You know, the first semester, you get a little homesick.
Yeah.
You know, but getting through that first year is big.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you know, I really wound up loving it. And I loved the art classes. And I loved the teachers, amazing, you know, teachers, and I learned a lot from my fellow classmates too, you know, because you spend a lot of time with the students, you know, and I...
What'd you do on the weekends?
Paint.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, and
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
What was your first painting?
This is, I remember this, okay. I really did not know how to paint.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of, and I did the basic drawing, and you know, that's the key of all of it is drawing, by the way. And the assignment was to do an interior view of an object or an organism. And I was like, okay, I think I want to do an inside of a worm. I don't know why. So I decided to do like a heartworm or something.
Wait. Like, oh, heartworms.
Heartworms.
Yeah.
Heartworms.
Mm.
You know, and
yum.
Who knows why? I don't know why. And it had to be like 4 foot square. It was pretty big.
Oh, God.
It was an acrylic painting. And also, I wanted it to have. So it was a heart, like an aorta heart.
Yeah.
With worms in it.
Oh.
And out of the aorta, I had flames coming out of it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you got that. There you go. And there's your creativity.
And it was. Big acrylic painting. And I remember flying home for a holiday and I wanted to bring it home to show my parents. I also had some friends helping me because I didn't know how to do flames.
Yeah.
So I had some friend and he showed me how to do flames and then I did all the little worms and all this stuff. I was very proud of this. Came out pretty cool. And I brought it home on the plane and I had a fever. I was kind of sick and the pilot felt bad for me. And so he put it in the cockpit.
Oh, my God.
Because it was too big for the plane. So I'm carrying it.
It's 4 feet.
4 feet. So I'm carrying it on the plane. This is the old days, you know?
Yeah.
I'm carrying it on the plane. They didn't have all these rules, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot, you know, how they stand in the front of the plane and greet you? I'm carrying this big plane. I had fever, and I was, like, sick. And the stewardess said, you can't bring that in the plane because there's no room, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like... Oh, but I don't really feel good, and I really want to show my parents. And the pilot said, I'll put it in the plane. I'll put it in the cockpit.
It's in the cockpit.
Yeah. It was the heartworm painting.
So funny.
It's kind of creepy. But anyway, that was my first painting.
And it was a success.
Yes,
do you still have it?
No. I have no idea where it was.
Oh.
Where it is, you know.
But then from there, you just...
Yeah, but you know what? And it's very funny because I was talking to one of the fellow faculty members because for some reason these days it's very hard to get students motivated to do things.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I help I help run a contest that's out of New York City, and it's like $5 to enter. And if you can get in, it's very, very good for your career.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like pulling teeth to get the students to do it. You know, and I'm like
$5 to
$5.
Are you kidding me?
It's like a Starbucks, you know, Starbucks latte.
And they're going to college because they need to realize you're going to college to be an artist. Okay, first of all, you're going to be an artist. If you want to be a successful artist, you need to put yourself out there. You need to have, you need to have some talent, and you definitely, like you said, you have to have the drive. You're not willing to give up $5 of
and you have to career. You know, you have to try, you know, you have to try to get your work
hard work, nobody pays off, you know.
If nobody sees your art, who's gonna buy it?
I know.
Okay, so anyway, and I go marketing. Out of my way to try to help them to do these kind of things, and they put it off to the last minute, and they put it off, and they put it off, and then nothing happens, you know. And it's really distressing to see, you know, how unmotivated, because I know that when I was a college student, I lived, breathed art.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up. I really didn't care about much anything of anything else. You know, and I was talking to another
and
faculty
that's how you
member,
became successful.
And he said that he entered that contest.
Really?
When he was, you know, an art student, and he got in, and he had the same mindset. He lived, breathed illustration. That's all he did. And that's what he still does. And he works every day. And
you really got to have the drive for it. So after college, what was your first, like, how did you really get into it?
I did art shows.
Art shows. Yeah, I have some experience in the art shows selling my belt buckles. I've been at 4 art shows in the past month doing 11-hour shifts every day.
It's a very, very hard life, but I had no intention of making that my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I was new in Fort Lauderdale. I didn't know a soul. My family moved here from New York.
You gotta do it.
And it was a great opportunity to meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I did. And I did it to meet. And I did it to win. And I did. You know, I did the Las Olas Art Show, which was from the Art Museum. And they had good judges. And I did it to win the prize. And I won the best of show. Got in the newspaper. And started to establish my career right away.
Awesome. All right, well, we're going to learn. We're being attacked by mosquitoes over here, so don't mind us. But we're going to continue on in this wonderful journey of Mimi's life as an artist. So stay right here. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about 4 times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation. Our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. Me and Mimi are here, and we're talking about her life as an artist. She was just telling me how she first got out of college and she started doing art shows. And through her art shows and her hard work and just basically living, breathing, being art, she won an art contest. And from there, she continued her career.
Okay, so then I, like I said, I did want to sell some pieces of artwork, and I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't sell a lot because I don't do commercial art. My art is about my life. It's about the things I think about. It's about nature, because that's what I think about, you know, and it's about spirituality. That's what I think about. But mm-hmm. It's not really that commercial.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Okay? If you were to see some of the paintings in her house, I'm looking at one, and the one in the middle, it's actually in this book here. It says that it's like a balance of day and night. Mm-hmm. And it's like a windowsill in a night scene, but in the windowsill is the daytime, but it's like the same place.
Right. Where it's actually two different places because on the earth, night and day are occurring simultaneously.
Yeah.
In two different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So in this particular place,
maybe you're in China. Maybe you're. Well,
that's actually northern Canada.
Oh.
And this is Florida. So it's like north and south, east and west. Okay. Day and night. It's yeah. all about the dualities of the world, mm-hmm. you know, positive and negative, you know. And when you have positive and negative, then eventually you have balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of layers of meanings in my artwork.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah,
what was your favorite piece to do?
I have no favorite.
No favorite?
No.
Nothing like totally just.
No, every piece is my favorite piece. The best I can do at that moment.
It has
to be that way.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But so anyway, so I did the art shows, and like I said, the intention was to, you know, become noticed, you know. Mm-hmm. I was new in town, you know, and it was sponsored by the museum, you know, get noticed by the judge, get noticed by the people that were the art movers and shakers in the city, which by winning the show, that happened, get in the newspaper, you know. So I met my accountant that became my accountant for many years. He bought my first painting.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he became a collector.
Your accountant became an art collector.
Yes, and that's really the goal, is to have, you know, people start collecting your art.
Yeah,
you know?
And then you make your money.
Yeah, buy more than one piece, come back, see what you're doing, you know, regularly.
And I mean, I can only imagine how hard it is selling art. I mean, I sell belt buckles at art shows because the belt buckles are art. But at least we, you know, there's some action going on there. We can actually sell the buckles by throwing a buckle on someone and showing them how cute it looks. But how are you supposed to sell art? Like, oh, look at this painting. It will just fit perfectly above your couch. Like,
well, that's right. Well, that's how some people see art.
Yeah,
you know?
Just it's something that looks good in the house.
You know, other people have to, you know, look at it and, you know, have to find,
appreciate
just like
art.
Somebody feels the emotion in a piece of music,
mm-hmm.
because they can relate to it.
Yep.
You know, some people can relate to that in a piece of artwork.
And then some people,
other
just look
people
for
are
aesthetic
are
appeal.
Looking at it as a piece of investment.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, thinking, wow, that artist is really very competent. Maybe I can buy this, you know, because their prices are cheap and they're going to, you know, they're going to stay in this and the artwork is going to become valuable.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of layers to the art world, you know, and in fact, an art investment can be a better investment than stocks. If you make the right investment, it can become a very lucrative investment too. So
you just never know.
You don't know. It's a risky investment, but it can be very valuable.
That's true.
It could be. So that's a different, that could be more for an investment topic.
Like what we were talking about earlier, how like you never know, people who are in the history books now would never warrant anyone while they were alive.
You can't make that decision.
Right.
You can't decide what, you know, the future is going to hold, mm-hmm. until, in terms of history,
yep.
way outside of our time.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's not decided. So
it'd be pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing. I have, just to finish this part of the conversation, I do have an art collector friend who's from Florence, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he buys art, he bought some young artists in the 70s, and he bought all the art that they had in their studio for $50,000, which is, you know, a lot of money, and particularly for a 20-year-old artist.
Yeah.
And his name was Sandro Chia. And he also, being a very, very smart art collector, he also made a deal with the artist, said, and he had a contract, said, I want to be able to buy a painting from you for, you know, X amount of years for $1,000 for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And the kid said, yeah, sure. And in Europe, they buy all your art outright.
Yeah.
They don't use commissions. So he bought all the stuff, put it in a warehouse. Every year went back for 10 years, mm-hmm. bought another painting. But after, you know, very soon after he bought all those 50,000, the kid got very famous.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, now the guy is quite a bit older, his paintings sell for $500,000 a piece.
Oh my gosh.
So his collection is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Oh my, that's amazing.
There is not a stock on the planet that's worth that much
money. Oh, of course. And you never know.
You have to have the eye for that.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So getting back to the other, for those people that want to get involved in art. So mm-hmm. I started in the art shows, then I entered museum competitions, and I did quite a few of those over the years, and I would enter. Sometimes I got rejected.
Yep.
Sometimes I won.
Got to keep moving on.
Sometimes I got rejected. Sometimes I won. You know, and each time, sometimes the museums bought the work. You know, so I'm in collections in the museums, you know, and people would start buying the work because that's how you build your resume. You know, so if you have work in a museum and then people see you in a gallery show and you have your resume there and they see you're in collections and they see you're in museums and through these contests,
mm-hmm.
that's how you build a resume.
Was the most, so you'd sell your paintings at galleries and whatnot after a while?
8,000.
Oh, that was the most you've ever sent, spelt. La, 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 la.
Yeah, 8,000.
Wow. What painting was that? What was it called? Do you remember?
Science of the Soul. I had a gallery. I had a very nice gallery, and it was.
Where was it?
In Fort Lauderdale, called Coron Gallery.
Oh my God.
It took a long time for him to represent me. Lots of visits, lots of, you know, visiting. You know, you have to do a lot of research, and you have to see what kind of gallery is the right gallery, that, you know, the right fit. And
with the buckles, you have to see what buckle fits you.
Yeah,
And, I guess that's not very similar.
Jordan, you know, got to see Matt. We would go in there, and we'd have some nice times, huh?
Yep.
He would put Jordan up and measure him on the door.
Yep.
See how tall he was getting. And once I was in Matt's gallery,
mm-hmm.
I was in the family. It was like a family. But I was only one of three Fort Lauderdale local artists that he even represented. He did not take local artists.
Oh, wow.
He only took national and international.
The hot shots.
Not hot shots. Established, famous artists.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want an artist that was from town that was going to call him on the phone every day saying, did you sell something? I didn't have to ask him.
Yeah, because you were...
He was going to call me the second he sold something. Maybe I sold something. He was excited.
Well, that probably gave you an outlet because people would go there to see these international established artists.
Of course.
And your stuff was there, so that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was the best.
Connection, yeah.
Eventually, he retired. His wife, you know, died, and it was very unfortunate, you know, and it was, you know, but he was the best ever. You know, but I had a lot of galleries besides that, and mm-hmm. that's what you have to do, and... But I had to work my way up because I was young and he wanted to make sure, you know, that I wasn't going to stop painting. And
you don't sell your art anymore, right?
I haven't found anybody yet. I have somebody I'm working on, mm-hmm. you know, down in Miami, Bernice.
Oh, that would be really cool if you had your...
But it takes a long time to get a Bernice. You saw the prices on her stuff.
Oh, yeah. We went to this gallery by Bernice. And
Bernice Steinbaum in Miami.
She's actually, I was in my art class and her name was in my art book. So she's pretty well known. And they had this exhibit where they would take these taxidermied animals, like the body of a bear, and they'd put the head of like an anteater on it. So it looked like these animals from Where the Wild Things Are. And that's when I really got my first taste of art. Like, oh my gosh. I don't even know what to think. I was freaking out, but it was really cool. I was like,
wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
I took Alexa on the art tour of Miami with Jordan, and it was fun.
It was amazing. It really did give you an appreciation for art, and I'm really glad that I got to have you on my show. I hope that those aspiring artists are now even more inspired to go out there and create artworks.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun in art, and it takes, you know, you have to just go out and look at a lot of art and see how you fit in.
Yep.
And there's a lot of different opportunities out there for you.
Awesome. Well, that's it for today. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Thank you for listening to American Pulse. Please join us again next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Kids. What can you do to make a difference before our next show?